Nice to have Penny Evans back in our listening fold. She's had a bit of a tough time, but she's back listening to us, and as she said, her husband got her into Coronation Street in Emmerdale. That's probably the reason she's, you know. I'm kidding. Fiona's right, though. It can help people dealing with serious issues as well as being over-the-top mayhem. Oh boy, I also remember Crossroads. But as we all know, and we could tell from that cheeky little snigger at the end of the telephone line, that it has to be the man who directed the train crash in Coronation Street. Yes, if anything is going to get you back watching the soaps, it would be that train crash in Coronation Street, or indeed the other train crash in Hollyoaks. Whom could we be referring to, Emma Tennyson?
Is it Graham Harper?
I'm really excited.
It's
always, Emma gets as excited when we talk about Graham Harper as Christy would get as excited as talking about... I don't know. Mermaids.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, mermaids. Well, that'll become
quite
clear.
That's the only thing she likes.
And rock photographer. That actually, Graham, is not as in geology. I have to make this quite clear because sometimes I say Nick Elliott, rock photographer, rock star photographer. A whole range of wonderful bands that have been interviewed. In fact, his choice in the upcoming March edition of Sound and Nick's Vision was indeed... from the band The Faces, and I believe that you, Graham, had a little connection with The Small Faces, their predecessor, in terms of Steve Marriott, unless I miss my guess.
Lovely. The legendary Steve Marriott. Lovely.
Yeah, he was quite a rock singer. I went to the same drama school as he, but
there
he was a bit younger than me, so he was about 2 years younger, but I remember him being there, and you could see he was going to be a bright spark in the television world or film world or whatever, and then he chose to go into rock music, which was really great because he made some great music.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Ichiku Park, What You Gonna Do About It, Sha-la-la-la-li, Understanding, all these things. Even Tin Soldier, which I think was one of your early suggestions, which we also do have in the system. See, we're prepared for Graham.
Cause we've got everything.
Exactly. And he's never actually breastfed live on air. But
fun
there's
fact.
Time. There's
that's
time,
to come.
There's time yet, Graham. Telefantasy and Society could well actually open up a whole range of things from that point of view. Graham, you're about to... have you finished your production work on the delightful series called Casualty?
I have, yeah, about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, that's
and you're in that sort of interim period between Casualty and obviously starting work for the Walt Disney Corporation.
Well, I'm working with Lime Pictures. It's a co-production with them and Walt Disney, and I believe the series was developed by Tim Compton, who also developed The House of Anubis. Which was for Nickelodeon, but this time this has gone to with Walt Disney, so that's the connection. But I'm not actually working for Walt Disney themselves. I don't think so.
Honestly, if the mouse got its hands on you, you'd know.
I think I would.
Evermore is, of course, the classic line. In fact,
that's what it's
speaking
be called,
about Walt Disney, given that they took over Marvel Comics, a nice little tenuous connection here. On the show next week, Tara Bennett, US editor of SFX magazine. And who is Tara Bennett interviewing this week, Christy Bond?
She is interviewing Joss Whedon.
Almost as famous as Graham Harper, in his own way. But there we are. So there you are, Emma. You could actually sort of work your questions out in terms of... because she's actually asking, is she not, Tara, for questions you'd like her to ask?
If you're friends with her on Facebook and you have an Age of Ultron-related question, she's looking for questions.
Always good. That's what you call interactivity that we never quite had at Dulwich Radio, but, you know, we've emerged, like, blinking into the light into the 21st century.
Social media.
It's wonderful.
Covers everything now.
And isn't it exciting that hopefully Graham will be joining us on Wednesday, May the 6th, Emma?
Wow.
You can't let Emma down.
Excited.
Yeah, Emma, you cannot, Graham. You cannot let Emma Tennyson down. You've got to say, we're going to do it for Emma. That's the important thing.
We're doing this for Emma.
Exactly. That's the classic.
Okay.
I've also was talking to Darren Scales earlier this morning, who's got a motion picture going, which I think is very good, and I'd like to share it with you. And I will do so, Graham, because I'll send you a link to it, because it's a nice little SF thing. And Darren was formerly with the RAF. He shot part of this at Waddington. He did the entire motion picture for, I think, a little under £50,000 or thereabouts. And it's a good sort of thing, so I would sort of flag that up. But enough of such stuff, because as Phil Leonis, our director in Los Angeles, would say, don't wish ahead, don't think about what's to come. Nick, questions for Graham Harper.
questions for Graham Harper.
I mean, you can ask him.
How do you feel about the next project you're working on?
No, I'm looking forward to doing that. It's, I absolutely love working... well, I love doing children's drama. This is a good comedy thriller, and spooky and quite creepy. And I like all of those aspects, plus some comedy. I think that's a really good pudding for me, so I'm looking forward to that. I also like working with young actors, because today we don't have proper rehearsals anymore, so actors have to rely, A, on their own talent and experience, which is what every director needs, and the same for the director. He has to really have a plan and a shape of what's going to be possible, but still allow them to have a go, you know, and do their own thing first, and then nurture that and change it if it needs to be. I like that. I enjoy doing that, because I think I can help young people to develop and work out how they can get there.
That sounds good. Why no proper rehearsals, Graham? Now, what's that issue?
When I started directing, which was years ago, but when I started directing in the 80s, we had rehearsal periods. So we would go off, if you had an example, would be 30-minute episodes. So if you're doing six 30-minute episode serial, you'd have a week's rehearsal in a rehearsal room somewhere with all the sets marked out in right. chalk and whatever. And then you would go into the studio with it all mapped out and planned, with some space to change things. But you then, everyone, you'd sorted out all the problems,
and
whatever. And that was all done. Now, directors and actors come together, they cast, and then they come together on the day, the first day of a shoot, and as a director, you have to know what sort of shape and how you're going to shoot that, but you don't know what they're going to do. You have no idea.
Goodness.
You've not rehearsed anything, so you all come together.
It's like doing one of these radio shows, Graham. You've got a clue.
You don't know where the hell you are.
Know how difficult that can be.
Lord above. No, thankfully, we have actually rehearsed extensively for this, including, actually, my little line, which says here, go to the Facebook page, or the page which actually talks about Graham Harper. There we see a little shot of Graham Harper talking. I'm going to be a little bit naughty here, because there's Graham there. Now, if I go back to when we first started working together, and there's a shot there, a teeny tiny shot, it has to be said, of yourself on set, directing Colin Baker and Purper Gillian Brown, otherwise Nicola Bryant, with cleavage. it's important, because, you know, we know the shot itself was kind of critical in terms of the, and it's interesting that he hasn't changed one iota, has he? See, there we are. That's the Doctor Who set, and there, lastly, on Graham Harper in conversation, and also we even pull up some shots on Facebook from the your time in the studios here at Siren to just work through that. Just goes to show, young at heart always. Christy, thoughts from yourself?
I wanted to know how you feel about Doctor Who now. Do you still watch? Are you a big fan?
I'm a fan, because I love the new, when I say the new version, from 2005 onwards, I think Doctor Who was brought into the 21st century big time, properly, and given lots of consideration. And it didn't degenerate, it didn't do anything bad for what had been before, it was just, it came at the right time, in the right way, with a huge explosion. It was really brilliant. It was brilliantly conceived, and we all stuck to a kind of regime of how that could be made. So I thought that was absolutely stunning. I forgot the question.
Favourite Doctor Who, Graham? Favourite Doctor Who?
Do I still love Doctor Who and all that? I do love Doctor Who. I don't watch it all the time, purely because of my own work commitments, and I don't record them, I don't watch them. I'm not that desperate about it. I do like the new Doctor Who. I think he's brilliant. I think the whole series has slightly changed, and it doesn't appeal to me as much as it did when it was with Russell T. Davies.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's no good. It just means it's slightly veered away from my taste.
I agree.
Now, the other sort of classic line is, of course, Emma's. Actually, you have been on a location report with me, so you kind of know the sort of things
yes.
we actually do. Christy will be probably making her debut location report in the not too distant future. So you can see that that's one of our location reports in Scarborough, where we have Graham in a tank. Okay, there's Graham pointing at the teddy bears that he's actually going to be sort of riding, you know, basically in charge of a full train full of teddy bears. Teddy's needed
thought,
to actually
I thought you were going
to
say then that he drove over the teddy bears in the tank. I was thinking, what kind of horrible
Emma, was this?
No teddy bears will ever be harmed on the midweek drive as long as there's breath in my body from that point of view.
Thank
and
goodness.
There's some of the other sort of packages there in terms of some of the folk who were involved with this whole thing, together with giant teddy bears. Graham pointing at the photographer with a very sort of large flash scenario there. And so on and so forth. Natalie Tuck, of course, with teeny tiny teddy bears, etc. So that's sort of thing. I mean, and we're also, this is the very exciting thing, thinking very serious, Graham, what's not to love? You see, that's... great. You can go to our Facebook site and see some of these photographs.
I'm desperate.
In the very near future, when Graham names the day, and hopefully we get it all coordinated, we're looking at doing a wander through Pinewood Studios with Graham.
Ooh, lovely.
Audio diary.
Wonderful.
With the director and his agent doing his whole sort of sequence that's actually up there. So yeah. I don't know who bloke is there outside the Dalek costume, but he looks very confused. Understandable.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good costume.
And the Dalek's not bad.
So there you have it, you know, in full force. So a little smidgen of stuff that's around. Kat, have you got any questions for Graham about life, the universe, directing Coronation Street, Hollyoaks, coping with, you know, train crashes hither and thither, and so on? Even spitting image.
Yeah, even spitting image. Mm. Marvellous. Well, there's been two train crashes that have been mentioned there in two different soaps. Yeah. How did you make them different? How could you direct them differently so they felt different?
That's a really good question, and you don't have time for the answer, which is lucky for me. However, I'll have a go. I think both companies spent the same amount of money on both their projects, but one company is small, which is Lime Pictures, who make Hollyoaks, and the other was Granada Television, which is ITV. I mean, I don't know when it changed from Granada to never being there anymore, but they had a bit more money to spend, and it was a big time for them, their 50th anniversary. I approached them both in the same way, with as much excitement and to create as much thrill and enjoyment, as well as the horror and the fear of, the action of what you were showing. But it would be great storytelling. I honestly don't think I did them any differently, from each other, as it were. I had plenty of toys and plenty. I didn't have thousands and thousands, millions of pounds, but there was enough money to make both look really good.
Excellent, good, and congratulations, because that's a very, very difficult thing to do, isn't it, to make something like that realistic.
It's a quality co-presenter and director.
Absolutely.
You only have the very best. Penny Evans would like to say she's come back and get to hear Graham Harper again. Yes, you do, Penny. Exactly. She remembers that you asked somebody to turn up. Just making sense of the English language here for a moment, Graham. just working. It's Buxton to Lincoln. Sometimes you lose something in the translation. But she remembers you asking me to turn up her singing You Only Live Twice on the show. So clearly Penny regards you as a friend that effectively sort of asked us to turn up her tune. And she does some cracking tunes. What are we doing one today, though? Because we've got this to play for you. We promised you early in the show we would do the full version. There isn't even a more extended version. But Graham, would you like to hear Lennon Nimoy singing the ballad of Bilbo Baggins?
Let's hear it.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire, with his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes.
Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, bravest little hobbit of them all.
Greatest little hobbit of them all. As Phil Leonard said, probably better than the Peter Jackson epic. But there
I don't think so.
We've been looking at the video and you would find
it is pretty impressive.
Pretty, exactly. Those jumpers, superb. Well, I haven't really had a chance to talk about Telefantasy and Sartre. They're taking their clothes off. No, perhaps not. please, you don't have to take your clothes off to have a good time, as somebody once said. Last two questions for Graham Harper. Please, Christy.
Have you had a wonderful, out-of-this-world telephonic link with us today?
With all of you, until that song. it was lovely, thank you.
And
Hobbits forever, Frodo lives. Those are the kind of badges we're getting out here. Exactly. It's all gone black and white now. Hobbits forever,
it's
and indeed.
It's so emotional.
It is. It's genius. Next question, Christy.
And are you going to be joining us again, Graham?
If I'm invited, I'll be there, definitely.
You're definitely invited.
Thank you very much.
In the living room, the voice clock sang. Tick-tock, 7 o'clock. Time to get up, time to get up, 7 o'clock. As if it were afraid that nobody would. The morning house lay empty. The clock ticked on, repeating and repeating its sounds into the emptiness. 7:09, breakfast time, 7:09. In the kitchen, the breakfast stove gave a hissing sigh and ejected from its warm interior 8 pieces of perfectly brown toast, 8 eggs, sunny side up, 16 slices of bacon, 2 coffees, and 2 cool glasses of milk. Today is August 4th, 2026, said a second voice from the kitchen ceiling, in the city of Allendale, California. It repeated the date 3 times for memory's sake. Today is Mr. Featherstone's birthday. Today is the anniversary of Talita's marriage. Insurance is payable, as are the water, gas, and light bills. Somewhere in the walls, relays clicked. Memory tapes glided under electric eyes.
Talking about electronic music not sort of being that that was where we started the show, of course, with Cameron Tilbury. It just goes to show there's room for everything, and let's remember he's really not dead, just as long as we remember him. Kind of bookends to the Chilpack Hollywood tribute to Leonard Nimoy that was sensationally put together with indeed other musical selections that the Nimoy great man that he was had introduced to the world, including of course Give a Little Love in Your Heart. Put a little love. Not give a little love. Put a little love in your heart. With great range, as Dean Haglund said. Who could well be online now then? Christy Bond?
Phil Linus!
Hey! Phil Linus, feeling a little bit exhausted, but he's a pro, so he's going to work his way through it. Aren't you, Phil Linus?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this my wake-up call?
How can we cheer you up, Phil? What can we do?
Oh, no, it's not that I'm in bad spirits in any way. It's just I worked straight through the night and had my first meeting this morning at 5:45 a.m. my time, and then was at an event at 7 o'clock. I've spoken of this group before, the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, an august organization founded by the most important members of Los Angeles society back in 1925, and it's still going. And it's an organization that celebrates friendship and history and is civically active, helping make important donations and gifts to all sorts of charitable organizations. And our very own Lily Holloman is the interim chairman of the board now of the Los Angeles Breakfast Club.
You see the influence of being on the Midweek Drive can actually have for you. You know, straight in there. I'm glad to see that appreciating her extensive experience, Phil.
And today, Dean Haglund and I both attended because there was a fantastic presentation given by a Mark Wanamaker, and there is no more knowledgeable or acclaimed historian when it comes to Los Angeles and Hollywood history than Mark Wanamaker. He's the head of this organization, the Bison Archives, and it is just an amazing treasure trove of photographs and film clips that no one knows exists because the studios all, for the most part, disbanded their archives during the 70s and 80s. And so Mark has all this material, and it's incredible. So anyway, so we were doing that until about 10 o'clock this morning, and now I'm right back to work and, of course, talking to my good friends on the Midweek Drive.
Which is a good excuse for not being able to listen to the show and give us any critiques or notes on the whole thing. That's okay. We understand that.
It's been a busy bee.
Well, I don't... Look, I'm a director and a producer, which means that I'm one of the only creatures on the planet that can... blow smoke up my own behind. And it also means that I am quite capable of giving critiques without having heard a thing.
And how many critics have actually used exactly those lines? It's just astounding.
Absolutely.
The astronomy place, which Leonard Nimoy donated extensive sums to, which actually kept it going, Phil, of course, was...
Oh, the Griffith Observatory.
Indeed.
High up atop Griffith Park. Griffith Park, I walk out into my front yard, and I look to my right, and up at the top of the hill, looking down at me, is the Griffith Observatory. It's high atop the largest public park, urban wild space in all of North America, and it's an amazing facility. Of course, Griffith Park Observatory has been a major location in many movies. It's where James Dean buys it at the end of Rebel Without a Cause. Spoiler alert. It underwent a major renovation, not only to the structure itself and to repair some earthquake damage to ensure that future earthquakes couldn't damage it, but also to create rafts of up-to-date scientific exhibits that are free for people to come and attend all day long. The only thing, you can go and you can look through the huge telescopes that look out into space for free. The only thing that costs money is the gift shop and the fantastic planetarium shows, the movies. Everything else, and you could spend a full day going through all these exhibits. And in large part, that's because of the effort that Leonard Nimoy spearheaded to raise the money for this renovation, for this expansion, and... He also spearheaded the creation of a deep space exhibit, and I really should take some photos of this and send them to you, Alex. There's one that is the largest photograph in existence of deep space, and it's incredible. Oh, there's also one other thing there that I'd love to share with you, and this kind of celebrates our special transatlantic link and unique friendship between the U.S. And the U.K., and I like to think between Los Angeles and the U.K. There is an exhibit somewhere outside London. I can't claim to know exactly where it is, but it's in a countryside. And someone created there, to scale, a walking map of the solar system. And you can walk from... So there's these orbs that are created, you know, these sculptures... there in the UK, where you can walk from the sun and you can get a feel for the distance between all the planets. And of course, it's quite a good hike to the farthest planet. Well, this artist continued and finished the exhibit here in Los Angeles because, to scale, if you wanted to walk all the way from our star to the nearest neighboring star, you would walk all the way from the UK under the Atlantic Ocean, up across North America, all the way to the Griffith Observatory, where the final piece of that display rests proudly.
And I think that deserves a round of applause.
Wow,
mind-expanding fact, which is just one of the reasons why when people say, so how come Phil Leonard has this regular gig on the show? Because he's so good like that.
He's just amazing.
Well, there we are. Exactly.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Who asks why do I have this regular gig?
No one questions it.
Exactly. It's always important to the whole sort of sequence that you were there to join us from that sort of perspective. So, allowing for the team that's actually in the studio, Emma Tinson, Christy Bond, Nick Elliott and Kat, Helen Rowe, well, what can we say? Thought she was going to write? No, she's not going to make it. Whom would you like to actually quiz or question or find out about what's been on the show, Phil, that you may not have actually encountered? You know, what are the sort of key things there?
Who was it that said that I'm the favouritest regular contributor?
Who do you think, Phil?
I don't want to guess. I don't want to play favorites. I mean, but clearly, this person does, and I applaud that person for doing so.
Well, there we are, Christy. Clearly, you know, you're sort of impressed by the whole sort of sequence and that point of view. As indeed, as I say, the truth of that is out there, which I think is it's still in with Jessica Ward, I believe.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, she's.
I want to watch it.
Exactly. She will hopefully.
Okay. Well, so if Christy made that comment, then like I said, it doesn't mean that Christy is in turn my favourite. It just means that all the others are less favourite.
Well, thank you, Phil, for that. I appreciate that very much. You are kind. You're a kind, kind man.
And so therefore, I would like to hear what Christy and Christy alone felt were the highlights of the show that
Wait,
I missed.
Phil, can so, I just so say, just because yeah. Christy said that
Emma's still
you're
waiting
her
for her
favourite doesn't mean you're not our favourites as well. It's just she jumped in there and said it.
All right. Well, then it can be a round table discussion. I want to know what are the highlights of this show that I should seek out in podcast form on podbean.com. Is it
southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. We'll get you there. Exactly.
It's a long
okay,
name.
But perfectly formed. Christy?
Well, we've had... I don't think I can choose. There's so many good moments from today. We've had lots of really interesting guests on as well, haven't we? Mm. We've had, obviously, Anna Lewis, who we have every week, near enough.
But not in a boring sense.
Not in a boring sense. No, she's fantastic. And I love her updates from Jersey, so you should definitely have a listen to those. Mm. We had Fiona Curzon, who's an actress, and I... don't know if I've really seen any of her acting because I think it's all a bit before my time.
But you can still check
but
it out.
But she's a lovely lady.
Your time has yet to come. Your time is just beginning.
Yes, indeed. We had the wonderful Sarah Pascoe, who was discussing her upcoming performance at the LPAC with us, and she is a fantastic comedian, and her website is absolutely awesome, it so awesome. You should check that one out. And Graham Harper, who is a BAFTA award-winning Doctor Who director, looking ahead to his upcoming work for the Disney company.
And that's before we even start about Nick Elliott's three-week-old second book, which is, of course, entitled...
50 Folk.
50 Folk. That's 50 Folk, as in 50 years since the Cambridge Folk Festival.
Well, my personal celebration of the 50 years of
the festival.
Because
you've had 10 years, basically.
Yes.
Which, as we said, was not 10%, but of course
20%. Small piece of it.
Exactly. A slice, but nevertheless a significant one.
Indeed.
Yeah. And, of course, Kat. And, of course, Emma as well. Just generally sort of being good from that point of view. So there we have it.
Generally good.
Yeah.
Generally good. I think we're better than that.
As a working jingle that Phil can use. So, Emma Tinson, she's generally good.
Generally good.
Fine.
And, of course, Cameron Tilbury. Exactly.
Yes. You see, admitted Cameron, it kicks off the whole show.
Nashville music.
Exactly. Kaylee Carr, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Camilla Peacock, Donna Eyre, Tamsin Freeman, William Sitwell, and Sam Stone are with us tomorrow. Sam Stone, of course, who might well be paving the way for your good self, Christy, because she was also on a Chilpack Hollywood Hour when she was over there with David Howe recently, and has said, well, you're making your way to Los Angeles. If he's kind enough, he might invite you in to that wonderful historic building in the heart of downtown Los Angeles where Chilpack Hollywood Hour is recorded, even though one of the presenters might be in Australia, New South Wales by then.
Yeah, well, that would be wonderful. If I'm ever in LA, that would be fantastic.
He may not, of course.
He may not, but...
Who can know these things? We never make plans that far ahead. Sam Stone, of course, did come out and do a show with us, and we've yet to release that installment.
Well, let's be honest. Phil.
Occasion.
Wasn't it wonderful and shows the absolute gentle nature of the man himself that Leonard Nimoy chose until after the Chilpack Hollywood Oscar Academy Award show to finally leave the planet? Because obviously, had he actually gone earlier, you would have been torn between, is it going to be a tribute to Leonard Nimoy or is it going to be the Oscars celebration? And in the end, he took that decision away from you.
Well, it was really the only logical choice.
Exactly. For the first time in my life, I was happy.
I was going to say that, but I couldn't figure out how to work that into it. And then I realized, oh, right, this is Alex's show. It doesn't have to work into the conversation. Just say it.
You can just put it out there, whatever you want.
Well, I wouldn't say whatever you want. I mean, yeah, we have had breastfeeding on air, but that's probably the fine-tuned Vinyls and Mary.
Not too extreme.
Ah, exactly, yeah. Anyway, Phil, so where do you want to go now? You've got a few moments before we have a TUT moment of joy and wisdom.
Well, I want you to try to find out. I really opened up, I guess, a can of worms, made them very uncomfortable. But when Sam and David were on our show, and again, we've yet to release it, but they were talking about the details of their forthcoming nuptials.
Yes.
And the fact that it is a steampunk-themed wedding. Mm.
Yeah.
And I'm fascinated by steampunk, and I'm fascinated to find out where it is. And I'm sure that they would probably let me know where the wedding is. After all, Dean's invited. Mm-hmm. But I asked them on the show, and they got panicked about releasing where the details were. So I think you should panic them even further and try to get them to reveal the location on the show.
Emma might be shorthanding tomorrow morning when she's on the phone telephonically, but well, she would be on the phone, telephone, obviously. But probably next week when she might well be in the studio.
Yeah, maybe.
Subtly put together.
Just not too much of a panic. Well, we don't want to cause.
No, because hysteria. She's going to be one of the key folk behind Telefantasy and Society. That'll be joining us on, of course, May the 6th. But, you know, at the same time, I've also got some prep which I'll be sending over to Phil to do, which is going to be a motion picture I'd like him to watch on behalf of a director who's going to be joining us in the studio on the 25th of February. So he's got lots of time to watch this particular piece, and I promise Darren Scales...
Will Phil do his homework?
I would spread the joy and actually give him the link and actually say, Phil, it's a science fiction sort of space opera. It's produced for a very low budget, but it is good. You wouldn't notice it. That it has it's just good quality filmmaking, but I don't want to preempt the whole thing. Kirsty,
when is this gentleman going to be on the show?
That would be February the 25th. Christy?
February?
March.
Yeah.
March.
Sorry,
it was the time machine controls lost. March the 25th. Christy, as I was saying, you've actually held this DVD in your hand.
I have,
which means
very exciting.
In one hand, you've held a DVD by Darren Scales, wonderful space opera, and the other hand, you've held a DVD Spectres by Phil Deaneys.
I have.
I haven't watched them as yet, of course.
I haven't watched them yet, but I will.
Exactly, it will happen.
Which one weighs more? Just by holding them. Which one weighs more?
Not Spectres. Drift?
Well, see,
Drift.
Drift, that's right.
Okay.
Because it comes with like a little...
It has bonus goodies.
It has bonus goodies in the package, so it's kind of like a little bit heavier.
I believe it's because the story itself is heavier.
I see.
It's called The Drift. It's for your consideration. And once you actually see the opening line of Drift and you see Darren Scales do that, I just say this won me over purely and simply because of the bagpuss that's actually there in that corner screen.
Oh my gosh,
what's not to appreciate about Daz Scales, The Drift, for your consideration, where he's got bagpuss in there as he's explaining the overall sort of theme.
I wonder if that was intentional.
I did ask him, and he was he was non-committal, but you know, who knows? But you know, it's interesting.
Has this film, or will this film, play at our friend Louis Savvy's Sci-Fi London?
Well, do you know, astonishingly, Daz wasn't aware of Louis Savvy's astounding Sci-Fi London event. So, as you can imagine, Phil, I pretty soon put that right. And where are you? So, it's already actually been released. He has spoken to our colleagues at Starburst magazine and a variety of other factors. He's got some good stuff coming through there. He's even got in his downloads a comic book version that you can actually download to appreciate the exciting world of this thing. So, I think he's done extraordinary. But anyway... you can speak to
That's outstanding, because as you know, most of the time when people say, hey, you want to see this movie, I say, no, I'm going to wait for the comic book.
Exactly. And here you see in the Deep Space Dark Secrets, The Drift. All exciting stuff. A storyboard novel. I'll give you a little teaser. 100 years from now, the first starlight crystal is found on Mars. Safely harnessing the power, energy, and power of a star, scientists can finally apply the quantum theories of faster-than-light travel. As mankind explores deeper into space, hundreds of crystals are found. A decade later, mankind is living across the far reaches of space. A trip to the nearest star takes a matter of minutes. Faster-than-light travel is a bus ride. After 80 years of interstellar travel, without warning, a dark wave pulse rips across the galaxy. Every starlight crystal in use was rendered inert, dead. With no way to reach them, mankind is left stranded across the galaxy. Millions of people marooned on planets, colonies in space and broken convoys. There is no hope. Well, there we are. Oh,
that should be a movie.
It is. Nick, number between 2 and 26, please.
7.
Oh, you've gone for 7. Very good. Okay, here it comes.
When in a hurry, step one for changing the entire world is falling in love with it as it already is. Same for changing yourself. You like the universe.
Splendid. So, last two questions for Phil Leonis, please. Christy.
Have you had a completely wonderful telephonic link with us today, Phil?
Completely wonderful. Look, everything can always be better. That's how I feel.
Very true.
But it was wonderful, and I love it as much for the imperfections as for the parts that were perfect.
That is magic.
That is beautiful.
What you just said was magical.
Tear to my eye.
So the next question, which is kind of self-evident, but...
Will you be joining us next week?
Much to the dismay of those people who wonder why I come back week after week, I will return.
Yeah, exactly. Nick, have you enjoyed your 3 hours with us today?
It's been marvellous.
Kat?
It's been absolutely wonderful.
Emma?
I've very much enjoyed it.
Now, will you wake up tomorrow morning?
Possibly.
Obviously, she's not going to die. You know, she's not going to be a zombie. You know, what have you asked her? Will you wake up tomorrow morning? Of course. Will you wake up in time for the show? That's the critical thing. Yeah. Christy, no point asking, really, is there?
No, I don't know. I don't rise before the sun. Sorry.
We'll talk about that and your novel next week. Fantastic stuff. To Emma Tinson, Christy Bond, Nick Elliott and Kat, and to you, good self, dear listener. And thanks, of course, once again, back with... Penny, of course. Nice to hear from her. It's a good full force there. Cameron Tilbury, Sarah Pascoe, Fiona Curzon, Graham Harper, and Phil Leonis. Thank you. It's been a blast. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.